Welcome to the interactive media.
Well, hello, folks. We're having a technical problem already in the first show. How is everybody in the world today? This is Jeffrey Miller, also known as the Hypnotic Interventionist. Thank you all for being here. I had some fantastic music all set up here for you guys for the intro and everything else as our network has developed a series of shows. There's five of us right now doing shows on the I Am Radio TV network. And we launched just this past month, and I'm going to give you more information on that as well. But this is, as they say, my show. And I am here solo, a solo act today. I know I'm going to have callers because I have all kinds of messages from all over the place. And thank you all for being so supportive. And I'm going to try to launch that music again right for you now. Let's see if this works.
Welcome to the Interactive Media Network, the home of the I Am Radio TV Network. And today, we are proud to present to you the new show, The Hypnotic Interventionist, with your host, Jeffrey Miller, renowned author, professional speaker, and strategic intervention coach. Now, get ready to go. Interactive.
There, we did it. Thanks all for listening. Oh, goodness. It could have been the right one. I've got in the queue on the right side of the where I'm also producing today, the show. I've got, seven tracks of music already set up for the other shows. And it didn't quite sound like mine, but who knows? Maybe it was. With that said, thank you all for being here. I am Jeffrey Miller, also known as the Hypnotic Interventionist. I'm going to do a little bit of a backstory about me for those of you who don't know me, and there's quite a few out there in listening land that do. Just about 5 years ago, I had an epiphany. I woke up one morning and I said, I asked that immortal question, who am I? And then I said to myself, that is a mighty good question, because you see, I was a very successful businessman. I have been up and down, I've fallen flat on my face, and I've made mistakes in business. But all in all, I said, I've learned from those mistakes. I was able to somehow pick up the pieces and reach out and get that help I needed to try to keep my head on straight, if you know what I mean. And I'm sure you do. And I really sat down and I said, I've got to sort this out, because as successful as I was as an entrepreneur, and a beautiful home on a lake, living up here in Maine, the vacation world of the, we call it the vacation land of the U.S., and one of the many, of course, just a gorgeous place to live, in the rurality, and it's just beautiful trees, and I got 13 lakes in the town we live in, and you would think, wow, you're on top of the world, you're flying. And being a pilot, I often do that, I do fly, but I really wasn't happy inward, meaning in my mind, I just wasn't totally thrilled with the way things were going. And I can remember quite a few years ago, picking up a book by then known Anthony Robbins, and it was the second book actually he had written, as I found out later, and it was called Awaken the Giant Within. That book was quite amazing to me, because being 6'4" and 245 pounds, I figured he's got to be talking about me, right? I mean, Awaken the Giant. Well, I didn't feel so big, because things were going on in my mind that just didn't feel right, and it had to do with relationships. Predominantly, it had to do with not friendships. My gosh, I've got some of the best friends in the world, and I bless each one of them every day. I put my feet on the floor and say thank you, thank you, thank you. But as far as a personal relationship, that significant other, it hadn't worked out so great, and it just was something I couldn't sort it out. I couldn't figure out where was that coming from. That as successful as I had been, as driven as I was to be able to lead, and I was called a great leader. My employees loved working for me because I was a listener. I chose to use that theory that was something I heard many, many years ago. I was blessed that creation allowed me to have two ears at work and one mouth. And, as you'll hear today in this show, I love to talk, but I listen twice as much. So I guess you could say I listen a lot. So I listen a lot to other people, but I don't know, something inside I wasn't listening to, or I couldn't find a good thing to. So I sat down thinking about having a cup of coffee. And again, as I said, I lived in this gorgeous home on the lake. And I opened up the blinds that morning, and I had double atrium door 10 feet from the water. If you can just vision that for a minute. A view unlike anybody else's in the world, no matter who or what you can think of living on a lake, the ocean or whatever, I had a unique view. Nobody else had that view, that perspective that I had looking out through those glass doors. And I thought, there it is, perspective. What is my perspective? What am I looking at? What am I visioning? So I did a little search, and it just happened to pop some words in, who am I, on Google. And as it would come out, a song came up. And it's a song called Who Am I? By a group called Casting Crowns. And I listened to that song, and I just sit there and literally bawled like a baby, because it opened up to an understanding that we are all creatures of God, or whatever you want to think started all of this. Whoever lit the match for the Big Bang, as they say, we are all people who were created for the unique ability. Each one of us is different in what we think about, what we see. Whether you open your eyes or close your eyes, nobody else has that perspective, that view you have. That song did a number on me. It got me to a point, and I say a number because it kind of like hit me over the head, to open up and start to understand who I really am and what am I going to do about it. So I did. And of course, what did I and who did I go back to was the great Tony Robbins. And I'll talk a little bit more about Tony. And this is certainly not going to be a commercial for him, but he is probably the key amongst many others in the personal development industry, as we know it today, that gave me a lift up. That book, I found it, I drug it out, and I read it again. But that was after I did a little research. And I typed in Tony Robbins, and I knew that he had used the term strategic intervention. And I found, lo and behold, who would have ever thought, because I'd never seen any advertising about it. I really wasn't a Facebook user at that time. And it was about a school, a program that you could actually go to online and learn what Tony does when he's up there in front of 5,000 to 7,000 people. And I said, what better way for me, the guy that had left that impact with that book so many years before, Awaken the Giant Within, what better way for me to improve myself, to maybe try to find out what is that piece of the puzzle I'm missing? And that piece of the puzzle is strategic, using the word strategic in my mind. And it's something I'll talk to you all about a little bit further in the show. Strategic meaning strategic. Intervention meaning to intervene into that we need to find answers to. It's perplexing. We all go through it. I enrolled. Boom. Let's do it. And I did it. And it was probably without a doubt one of the many great moves I've made in my life, and I've made a bunch, and I'm very proud of them. It's proud of the ones I made that weren't so good, because those ones that aren't so good, when you fall down and your face is in the dust and you can pick yourself up and dust off and say, there, now I know another way not to do something. And I've always been able to look at it that way. Alexander Graham Bell went through that. He said, you know, I have 1,000 different ways plus not to make a light bulb. And people laughed at him and called him a failure. Well, what is a failure? A failure is a person that just quits and says, that's it, I'm done, and turns around with a tail between their legs, you know, proverbially speaking, and walks away. So you are not a failure if you've made a mistake. We are continually making mistakes in this life. We are all making mistakes. It's, you know, a GPS makes mistakes. People say, how is that possible? A guided missile makes mistakes. That's how it corrects its course. So if you recognize that you've made a mistake, you realize it, and you choose to do something about it, then it's not a failure. It's just another brick in the wall, as they say, another possibility for you to make a difference. For you. Because you've got to make it for you before you can do it for anybody else. And that's really what it is. But that day that I sat down at that computer after opening those blinds and sipping a cup of coffee was a turning point to my life. It was the beginning of understanding, first of all, what is strategic intervention? Where did it come from? How did it start? Why does Tony do it? What was his backstory? What was his thing? You know, from the point of the guy living in a Volkswagen, homeless, to where he is now, a multi-millionaire. And it isn't about the money as much as what he does to help other people. although we all deserve a living and we all deserve the right to happiness and to live comfortably without having to worry about paying that next bill. And gosh, I've been there, just like you. We've all been there at some point, probably, unless we were born with the, you know, they say, the silver spoon in your mouth. And then you may not understand what it's even like to have to work for a living, but that's a whole other situation. So the term hypnotic interventionist came some time later. And as I worked up through my career as an interventionist, and now for about 4 years plus, almost full time, I do other things. I still keep hands in working with construction and carpentry and clearing land and buying and selling land. You know, I still am an entrepreneur, as they say. However, I love to work with people and help them make that change that's necessary. And I've been able to study a lot about that. I've had quite a few mentors along the way. And that's what's very important, is each one of us needs a coach. And people say, well, why do I need a coach? Well, could you jump on the field and play professional U.S. football without the coach? Maybe you could. But would the rest of the team know what you're doing? And would you know what they're doing? No. So it's like a team effort. To have a coach means that you have a strategized way of doing things so that you can win the game. Well, life is very similar, isn't it? We need to win the game. And if we're not winning, what are we doing? Losing. And sometimes you just float along without any course or direction. And that's not good either, because you've got to chart your course. You've got to know where you're going. So coaching has done that for me. It has also done it for many, many people. And it was, you know, I did great, as I mentioned to you, prior to learning about having a coach. I have done absolutely phenomenal and fantastic since I've had a coach. And I'll talk to you about some of those coaches along the way. It is absolutely phenomenal, the change that happens when you understand that that goes on within your mind that you don't know about. You know, there's no excuse for what we know about what we don't know, but then in fact there is, because a lot of us were groomed from childhood to be who we are. Is it really who you're supposed to be? Have you thought about that? That's an amazing thing, and we get into that when I speak with my clients, you know, that upfront story about who do they think they are and what is the issue that is perplexing them. And it is unbelievable how many people really don't understand why they do things that they do. Because this thing called unconsciousness and conscious in our mind, we have many parts of the brain, but, you know, you've got the frontal area, they call the cortex, left and right, and then you've got area called the amygdala, and there's all these other terms that they've come up with for it. There's quite a bit of work and study that's gone into it. There's a phenomenal coach that I've mentored under, as well as my wife, Mr. John Assaraf. And if you've ever heard of John's name, you'll know that he was also in the movie The Secret, which a lot of people have mixed reviews about these days, you know, whether The Secret really is the law of attraction, does the law of attraction really work, etc. That's almost another entire subject. But John, from being a very successful real estate entrepreneur, similar to myself, I owned a real estate brokerage business here in Maine as well. John did exceptional well in business, and then he went on to develop other businesses and was involved in the law of attraction, as were many others that were in that movie. Great movie. It opens up unlimited possibilities to think about what do you attract, what happens to your life that you actually attract. And it is a fact, by the way, you do attract that which you live. And again, another part of what we will discuss today. And by the way, folks, while I'm thinking about it, I want to give a number out. We're not going to accept callers right at this moment, but within the next 10 minutes or so, I will, if you've got a specific question about what we're talking about today. And that number is, in the U.S. and Canada, 657 area code, 383-1534. And I'll say it again, 657-383-1534. And I understand there's possibly a way of doing that with your Skype as well. I'm not quite sure how that works, but I will see the number pop up on the left side of my screen here if you choose to call in. And I welcome calls, by the way. So talking again about me and a little bit of the backstory, I had to do something about who I was when I stood in front of the doors that morning drinking the coffee, asking myself that question. My life hadn't been so great. You know, I was the oldest son of an oldest son of an oldest son. And my dad left our household when I was 17 years old and kind of left me to kind of tend to things financially. My mom at that time, you know, in that year, in that era, was not a full-time worker. She was a housewife. I have a sister that is younger and two identical twin autistic brothers. Now, autism back in the day wasn't even known as autism when they were born. And about the age of 3 years old, nobody knew what was really wrong, but they knew they were not progressing. They were not, the doctor said, there's something up here. This isn't, you know, they just should be doing this. They should be doing that. They were barely crawling. They weren't walking. And you could see that there was something missing. Autism, as I said, wasn't even a word back then. They were called emotionally disturbed. In fact, more often than not, retarded. And that was quite a blow to my mom and dad to have a, you know, here they have four children and two of them being identical twins, boys, and they have something wrong. And their whole life became involved. God bless them. I can't take anything away from them. But their whole life became involved in trying to figure out what was wrong with their children. These two perfectly normal looking boys, handsome young guys, but there was something wrong. There was something really wrong. So life, as it turned out for them, was a rocky road. And as the years went by and all the attempt to try to find help for them and try to find programs and something that would help turn these guys around, just never happened, because back then there weren't programs. There were some minimal type things. There were a few things. This was in the Boston area, by the way, back then. And they were born in 1959. It gives you a perspective of, we were talking in the early 60s, right around the John Kennedy era. And it just was something that was unknown, totally unknown. And now, nowadays, of course, with ADHD, there's a lot of labels put on things, and they're doing a lot to try to help. You know, the advent of the computer has helped, you know, language and helping autistic folks, kids and adults, you know, even communicate to an extreme degree compared to back then. There was nothing, literally nothing. It was the beginning of even understanding what that even was. Now we call it autism. So that said, it was tough for mom and dad, and it left me in a situation. So I had to learn my backstory. I had to go back and understand why was I not doing so great with certain things in my mind when it came to relationships and holding a marriage together and things like that. But everything else I was doing well at. So, I mean, thriving and surviving. I mean, I was flying at business. But, you know, I forced myself to be busy all the time. I didn't take a break. And there was a reason for that. When you think about it, when you work your butt off and you don't take a break, you miss something. Living here in Maine has allowed me to do that. And thankfully, when this all transpired, I was living here. I had been living here for, oh gosh, approximately 10 plus years at the time. And I had learned to take a break. I had learned to be able to go out in the boat, do a little fishing, jump on a jet ski and go cruise around the lake, enjoy life. Technically, enjoy life. Had it not been for that, I don't know. I don't know where I would have been, whether I would have been able to, you know, find myself to the degree I wanted to. And it was a study that I had to get into about who am I. Because you, each one of you, has to think about that question for a minute. If you really honestly ask yourself that question, say, well, yeah, I know who I am, you know. I'm so-and-so, and I'm married to so-and-so, or I just got a divorce. Whatever your case in life may be, I'm a young person, I'm an older person, and you believe you really know who you are. But ask yourself that question. Who am I to the degree that you are doing what you really love to do? And are you happy with it? Have you found your passion? Have you found that place in life where you can hit the floor in the morning and plank 2 feet on the floor and say, thank you, thank you, thank you, another day to do what I love to do? I can now say that, but for a lot of years, oh my goodness, for a lot of years, I could not. I just couldn't, because I didn't know who I was. And I mean that quite honestly. And it had to do with, God bless my mom and dad, but it had to do with all that that took place. All that that happened. You see, my sister and I, as loved as we were and as cared for as we were, there was a certain percentage that we missed. Nobody's to be held accountable for that, but that's what had to be. That's what had to happen. And a lot of families, in the way the world's going today, the kids grow up without the mom, without the dad, without either of them sometimes, and or they don't see them. They're busy away working or whatever the case may be. And that old four-letter word, L-O-V-E, just sometimes misses out. And the love is there, you know, the love is there, but the interaction and the spending the time sitting and talking, and I was guilty of it as well with my own children. I have to admit and apologize to them because I was a workaholic. I felt that that's the way I had to be because I learned that from my dad. I saw him live his life that way, just go, 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 working two jobs, trying to make ends meet to pay for all these special programs that they were trying to find and go to these different places and meetings and whatever. It was crazy. I can't imagine what it was like for them when I was growing up, because I had my own things to be concerned with, and I didn't understand. I didn't know what I didn't know what they were going through. I just knew that things weren't right, as did my sister. And that was our life growing up, to the point where Dad finally had it. When I was about 17, 17 and a half, I was getting ready to get out of high school. I was going to hit the U.S. military. Vietnam was in that time. And I figured, well, one way or the other, that's probably where I'm heading. As it turns out, I wound up being sole surviving son and had to take care of Mom, my sister, and two brothers and until they got on their feet and things happened. And then life proceeded for me as well, but not in the direction that I would have chose. It went in a direction that I had to go. These are things I had to do. So each one of us can tell us stories. Maybe not the same as mine, because mine's unique, but each one of you can think about your life if you think back to that time, you know, and the happy, you know, they called it happy days. We used to watch the show Happy Days. Everybody was happy. Well, not everybody's happy. Not everybody was happy then. There was a lot of happiness, and you create that with your loved ones and family and friends and how you live your life. But if you really think about it, are you living your passion? And if you're not, why not? And that's part of what we're going to discuss today, because we're going to get into that part of it to understand what coaching really is and what I offer as an interventionist and why this show, The Hypnotic Interventionist, is going to be relative to a lot of people. And I have worked with literally hundreds of clients throughout the years now, and I'm blessed by each one of you out there. And a lot of you listening probably are, in fact, or have worked with me at one point or not. We have talked with one another. We have guided. We have understood. And, of course, a lot of my fellow coaches that went through the same program I did also understand where I'm coming from. Now, when I say I'm the hypnotic interventionist, I've stepped it up. I've gone on all as well as through strategic intervention, understanding where that came from and why it is what it is with Tony Robbins and Dr. Chloe Madonis. Started that school. They also learned from a number of renowned people. One of them was a Dr. Milton Erickson. And Dr. Milton Erickson is probably one of the best when it comes to a hypnotherapist. He was a doctor, a full-fledged doctor, that just had a way. And if you ever have an opportunity to search and watch some of his old filmed sessions that are on the internet, Dr. Milton Erickson was phenomenal in how he was able to work with people, his interventions with people through hypnosis, conversationally and through trance hypnosis, were just amazing. And I chose to become a hypnotist. I wanted to know what that was like to be able to help people in that way, because there is a block between your consciousness and your unconsciousness. And your unconsciousness is a place where everything is stored. We put it all back there, and it's for our survival. It's the bits and pieces that make you up as a person, so that when somebody's speaking to you, you will relate based on your learned experiences of life to what they're saying. And you, in your mind, will actually fill the pieces in to make that a story so that you comprehend it and understand it from the unconscious to the consciousness, consciousness back to the unconscious, and it's stored. And it's quite amazing how that all works. So one of the things I wanted to get into with you today is I do have an offer, by the way, that I spoke to everybody about on the page on our IM Radio TV network. And my question is if you found out today what you think your reality is and found out that it was actually an illusion, how would you feel about that? It'd be quite interesting, wouldn't it? And that you actually have the superhuman power to bend and shape it into anything you desire. You have the ability within. You have the capability within your mind to change the way you're living, to change how you're thinking. It's just that most of us don't understand it. You know, I hate to use the expression, I even hate to use the word hate, and I apologize for that. We've kind of been dumbed down. Society's been dumbed down so that we just kind of follow the crowd. You don't have to. So, about 5 years ago, as I said, I learned a way to do just that, where I could, in fact, learn how to create the life I deserve. And I learned how to create my reality and make it what I wanted. So imagine, if you will, if your life was free of heartache, trauma, negative self-talk, debilitating beliefs, and overall low self-esteem. And that, two words, low self-esteem, is extremely important in this whole thing, because the esteem level of the human mind is critical. You can have high self-esteem, regular self-esteem, low self-esteem. The unfortunate part of the way things are in the world today is about 80% are walking around with a negative level of self-esteem. They are not thinking very much about themselves. They're not considering the worth they have about themselves. And that's extremely sad when you think of the percentages. So that is that part. I've done a lot of writing, and I've got a book coming out about losing a piece of the puzzle. And what I actually call it is, have you lost a piece of your puzzle and what you can do to find it? And I'm going to go over a little bit of it with you today. And by the way, I want to let you know, I am willing to take callers at this point. If anybody would like to call in, 657-383-1534. We're coming down to a little over half an hour left of show, which is hard to believe. As I said, I listen twice as much as I speak, so I'd love to listen to you. Give me a call. So let's face it. You know, we all feel at times we've lost a piece of our puzzle, and it's interestingly enough, we actually have, when you think about it, at least on the outside. And so what do I really mean by that? Well, we all start out in this existence as children, babies, and we learn from the teaching of others, whether it be from our moms, dads, brothers, sisters, relatives, etc., and a combination of everyone you've ever spent time with from then till now. Our minds are created this way, kind of like a super sponge that absorbs water. The difference is you can wring out the sponge and release the water. You can't really wring out your mind. However, there's a way of doing something that we will talk about that can help you with that. But how does the mind really know the difference? It's a great question. So when you think about this, it really does not look at things as good, bad, or indifferent. The mind really doesn't know the difference, which is kind of crazy when you think about that. However, the mind doesn't really care either what you choose to learn, as long as it's not threatening to your body. For if it senses that it is a threat, it will react and attempt to send you a signal to not or to do something either way. This is based on your learned experience, by the way. So let's talk about an example of that. When you were young, you didn't know the difference between hot and cold, for example, until you felt it. That's when you learned what your parents meant when they said, no, don't touch that. It's going to burn your hand. But, you know, we all touched it, didn't we? Somehow we all get burned, or we all felt extreme cold, or whatever that lesson in life had to be. So we all remember similar times to that, but it wasn't until you pushed the touch that you really knew the difference between the hot and the cold, etc. And it hurt. And that's precisely the experience that our minds need to form a memory that will continue to be with you your entire life. And of course, there's many other examples. I'm sure you can think of them. When we think about this learned experience, our minds continue to work on that model. It has become your unique learned experience that becomes your unconscious thoughts that are stored back in the unconscious memory of your mind. These memories are like building blocks. Alone, they are that one unique memory. However, when combined, all connected together, that's when they now work together with all of your other stored memories to help you and guide you through your life. So now let's look and think about the metaphor of losing a piece of our puzzle. And I love metaphors. We were taught metaphors in the very beginnings of strategic intervention. And all my fellow coaches that learned and were in that program with me, and the ones that have followed, can tell you that they understand metaphors and why they're so important in our life to be able to understand and speak in metaphors, because it's storytelling, really. So we'll call this a metaphor. And what we're going to call it is the story of losing a piece of our puzzle. So now let's get to the story. We can all relate to having this awesome puzzle. You want to put it together. You open the box, you dump it on the table, you spread out all the pieces, and you proceed to put the puzzle together. All's going great until you go, whoops, I can't find a certain piece of that puzzle. There's a spot right there that I can't fill in because I can't find that piece. But you're sure it must be there somewhere. You still got a lot of pieces on the table. So unfortunately, you continue along, and to no avail, you can't find it. In fact, you put all the pieces. The puzzle's complete except the missing piece. You search around. Did you drop it on the floor? No. It's an endless search, and you can't find it. So his situation now, remembering that we're all creatures of learned habits, the key to unraveling this mystery. So let's look back to where you learned all of your habits. And that's also the key to understanding the why you act and do what you do. So when I say you're missing a piece of the puzzle, you've got the pieces of the puzzle, you're missing them because you don't know what they are. So in effect, you're missing them. We are amazing beings, unlike anything that we know about to date on this planet. We use our minds to control and run our lives. Thinking back to those learned experiences and habits, you can now see that we've all lost a piece or two of our puzzle. Let's face it, there are moments in our minds that we would just as well like to forget as well, right? I know I can. I can relate to that. Every one of us has these moments in our unconsciousness that seems to kick us in the butt from time to time. Well, those are, again, your learned experiences. They are the actual memories you've chosen to forget from your conscious thoughts. Unfortunately, and as a result of learning them, your mind will look for them and remember them, enough to send out a signal. A signal to remind you of them at any given time that they're provoked to do so. Now, these are not always good thoughts, and sometimes you really don't want them, but after all, that's exactly how we function, good, bad, or indifferent. Usually, we react to them without consciously thinking about it, and that's the amazing part of it. When you think about something you react to, and something, triggers you, as we call it, what happens at that moment is the perceived and the thoughts from the unconsciousness that come forward. So there's another example we can talk about. Let's say as a child you were scared by the story of a haunted house with ghosts that came out and chased all the children down the sidewalk as you walked by. You heard the story enough that you had to walk by this house every day, unfortunately, going home from school. The kids told you, and they made fun and said, you know what, you're going to get scared. And you believed them. Because then you started hearing strange noises, or at least you thought you did, coming from behind the fence of the bushes of that old house. You became extremely scared. You did not want to walk by that house, but there was no other way home. Every time you walked by, you felt scared. And every time, your mind was learning the experience of becoming scared, which what is an amazing thing about that is it becomes a habit. So now as an adult, if you were to walk by that same house or a similar house, your unconscious memory will go to the emotion of being scared. It will send you a signal, beware, haunted house. And if that wasn't enough, why don't you try this? Close your eyes and think about that old house that I just talked to you about, as though you were walking by it right now. And you will go to the thoughts and emotions of feeling scared. And if that's not weird, just like you did as a child, or in fact, you feel like you're actually there now. And that's the amazing thing about metaphors. And that's what stories do when we're children or even as adults, because that is what we realize. That's our memory. So it's really amazing. So you may ask, what would I want when I, excuse me, I apologize. I want to get on to talking about triggers because I'm looking at time here. And again, folks, if you'd like to call in and ask any questions about what we are talking about, 657-383-1534. When you think about triggers, things happen in your life. The memory that you hold from deep within that have been with you since the beginning are still there. The human mind is such that it protects you, that you don't have to constantly remember them on a conscious level. It's said that there's about 7 bits that the mind works with, 7 or 8 bits of stuff going on in the consciousness all the time. And not exactly all at the same time, but it can jump between these bits. So therefore, the equation looks like this. And this is how it was explained, and it's quite amazing. If you think of the size of a U.S. quarter dollar, a silver piece of coin, and then in your mind, think of a giant beach ball you'd take to the beach and kick around with kids or yourselves, you know, having a beach ball game. Set the quarter on top of that giant ball. That quarter represents 7 bits, and that giant beach ball represents your unconscious memory. That's the crazy thing about how much is stored back there. So, talking about piece of the puzzle again, I'm actually writing a book on it as we speak. It's going to be about that, you know, about losing a piece of the puzzle and everything. And a lot of what I've just told you is excerpts from the book. So who's got questions at this point? This is the fun part of these shows. You know, I know I've got a bunch of listeners out there. Who'd like to give me a call? I'd love to talk to you about it. And I'd also like to talk to you now about the offer again. And I'm gonna put a shout out right now to anybody, as a matter of fact, that's listening to this show today that would like a session with me. I would love for you all to go to www.21daystochangeyourmind. And when you go there, you're going to see on that page, you'll see a little video showing me, but you're going to see a button down on the right there that says click here to get your action booklet. And when you open up to that, there is a question. And that question is very, very important, because if there are things going on in your mind, if there are things, and there are, let's be serious, the difference is, do you want to do something about it? Do you want to change? We all have issues. We all have those things that are happening in our mind that we're just not totally conscious of. And they stop us. They prevent us from doing certain things. They cause us to be scared like we're walking by the haunted house. And the interesting thing about that is we don't even know where that memory is coming from, because you don't think of that memory. It's just a signal that goes boom, and it triggers and shoots like a gun and comes up to stop you from doing something that may be totally unrelated to walking by a haunted house. But it's enough of a scare that your mind says, warning, 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 you need to be protected. You don't want to do this. And it sets up hypertension. It causes, it's the effect of low self-esteem. You wind up with debilitating beliefs about yourself. You think you're not good enough. It could be to do something with work. It could be relationships or anything else you can possibly think of. How many people can say that that's happened? Most everybody. I don't think too many people can say it hasn't happened in their lives where they haven't felt a time where they said, I don't want to do that. I'm not going to do that. Now, I don't mean to go jump off the cliff on the bungee cord, but a lot of people do, and they think it's great. And you're probably saying, hey, I would do that. Well, wonderful. I'm not going to jump off on the bungee cord. I love to fly. I'm a pilot, but I want to stay on my plane. I don't even want to jump out of the plane. I'll take it to the ground. Thank you. But that said, when that trigger gets pulled, it's just like, as I said, pulling the trigger of the gun. And our mind's unconscious thoughts race to the front to react to the conscious thought of whatever you're experiencing. And again, like the bullet with lightning speed, the trigger causes the mind to recall that past learned experience, that memory. So you might say, I don't want to recall that memory. I just want to forget it. I don't want to think about that. I want to get rid of it. I don't want that to react like that. And I'd say, I don't blame you. I feel the same way. However, it's not quite that simple. Here's why. You do not constantly remember that memory, as we've talked. You just said, I don't want it. Go away. Right. This is exactly the why it is called regressed memory, because it's regressed, meaning it's so tucked away, hopefully far enough that maybe we won't ever remember it. Unfortunately, no, that's not the case. And as previously said, getting triggered from time to time will happen. So what can you really do about it? Well, modern science and psychology has studied the habits that we have as humans. Forever, it seems, they have come to a much better understanding of the why we act or think the way we do. It is, to some extent, still a mystery, however. Our brain, this brain that we're carrying on top of our bodies, is amazing. So as I have studied over these years now, being a strategic interventionist, studied NLP, hypnotist, hypnotherapy, that, in fact, we call human need psychology, that is a different as well. You know, people are different everywhere in the world, but if you think about it, we're all the same in many ways. So I've come to realize and understand that we are very similar, and how our minds work is very similar. And I know Tony Robbins will stand up in front of those 7,000 people and say, you know, you're from every walk of life all over the planet, but he can honestly tell you that you all think alike, and it's true. So I have also made it my mission to continue the study and unravel the mind's mysteries through strategic intervention, hypnotherapy, and NLP, which is neuro-linguistic programming. And by strategically putting the three of them together, I wrote a program to guide and assist those who want to change and understand the why they react and think the way they do, so that one could say, there, I'm good with that. No need to allow it to perplex my life any longer. So this can and will happen to you if you choose to. And it's been my experience both personally and with my clients, that to effectively deal with this issue, we need to go in and find it and visit it. We need to understand how to deal with it so that we are not triggered and therefore not brought back to the memory of it. And I have a funny way of saying this, and my clients laugh, and other coaches that know me and that have coached me will be laughing right now. I refer to it as the shampoo and conditioner treatment. They're all smiling. I can see them smiling. But they are. So we go in and find it through first hypnosis. That's how I've established the 21 Days to Change Your Mind program. The first session is to get to know you. First of all, excuse me, let me go back a spec. There is a 30-minute complimentary discovery session. It isn't going to be a penny's worth of expense to you, just the time you need to spend with me on Skype face-to-face, and we're going to talk about it, and that's after you will write down the answer to a question, which I'm going to bring up in just another moment. So with hypnosis on that first session on Skype, and many people have said that's not possible. First of all, I'm not I can't even say it. Isn't that crazy? A hypnotist can't even say the word. Anyway, I can't be hypnotized. How's that? I'll say it that way. And you're right. A lot of people say, you can't hypnotize me, Jeff. And I'll say, you're right. Because honestly, I have the tools and the knowledge of how to get by the consciousness and get into the unconsciousness and help you find the answers. But amazingly enough, it is you that actually hypnotizes you. It is you that chooses to go into the trance state. It is there, however, that we're going to find the answers to what you're looking for. And that's why that first session is critical to getting this information out. It is a very painless thing. You're home and you're on Skype and I'm there with you and I'm guiding you to trance. And you are going into the state of hypnosis, okay? And you are seeing and understanding from a very protected point of view, identifying that's been kicking your butt. And it's usually that one big pervasive issue. And you might say, well, I have other stuff going on too. And I might say, I agree with you. In fact, I will agree with you. But somehow when that one big one's taken care of, the other ones just seem to drift away and they're not as important anymore. Because once you take care of that one pervasive issue that's going on and you understand it, then we bring it back, we shampoo it, we condition it, I bring you back out of the trance and we actually talk about it. You will know what it is. You will then remember when it happened. Now, a lot of people say, well, gee whiz, I don't know if I want to remember things that happened when I was a kid. There's other ways of doing that where the memory actually is not a danger zone, okay? And believe me, I've worked with many people with many circumstances that I will not discuss on air. They are very private, personal circumstances that you would cringe at. And it helped them. And it helped them. And that's, I just feel so wonderful about that. So, as I say, oh, what a feeling. So my gift to you today is, I would like to offer to all of you, is to please go to www.21dayschangeyourmind.com. Look at that page. Fill that question out. And I'm going to ask you about that. Excuse me. Talk to you about that question right now. That question is quite simply this. What one big issue is going on in your life right now? Think about it. Think about one thing right now that's going on. And we all have them. I still have them, by the way. I still have a coach. Actually, I have several coaches because I have to. It's part of my, what we call the modus operandi these days, you know. I want to be in tune. But think about that one thing yourself now. Just kind of close your eyes. I don't want you to do that if you're driving and you're listening to this on your iPad or whatever, iPod. Please don't do that. But if you're at home and you're relaxed and you're sitting at your desk or sitting on the couch or wherever you might be, ask yourself this one question. What is the one big issue right now that's kicking my butt? First thing that pops in your mind, it may not even be the most important one to you, but that first one that pops into your mind right now, think about that and write it down. This is it. This is my question. This is the one that's kicking my butt. Okay, do that. And I want you to look at that question. If you haven't written it down because you choose not to, think about it in your mind. I hope you wrote it down, because writing things down makes a big difference. You're committing to something here when you write that down. You're committing to the fact that this is an issue that's kicking your butt and you want to do something about it. You're admitting that you want to do something about it. If you don't want to write it down, I'm going to be very honest with you, you're not committing to do anything about it. As bad as it may be, and I don't mean to put bad in the sense of bad, but you know, if it's bugging you in your life and it's something you snapped to a decision and remembered, then it's something you need to deal with, because it is having a negative effect in your life. And now that you've done that, either way, and again, I will say, I hope you've written it down. I would like you to write down five things, at least, and there's maybe more, but at least five things that will change in your life exponentially, huge change in your life as a result of taking care of that one issue. And think about those. Write them down. And if anybody would like to call me and go over their list, we've still got 14 minutes worth of show here, and I'd love to hear what you have to say. I will just dedicate it to you and do a session with you on that right now if you'd like to call me. If not, go to the page, www.21dayschangeyourmind.com, and fill it out. Open up your little action booklet there and fill it out. And it's got directions of what to do with it. If you would like to have that free discovery session, no obligation to go any further than that. I will dedicate time, minimum of 30 minutes, and we will go over it. And believe me, when you do this and you provoke yourself to do this, write it down, write down the question, and write down the five things that are going to change exponentially in your life as a result of kicking that issue to the curb, gone, out of here, so you know what the understanding of it is, you know why it's happened, you know when it's happened, your life's going to change. And if you do that one thing, you're going to be amazed at how much. Because I am going to tell you for a fact, it's exactly what I learned to do. Nobody ever told me to do that, but I was able to take all the information that I have learned through all the programs and courses and everything to do with the mind, and I was able to do this exactly. I was able to write the question down, and believe me, I had a lot of questions. I had a lot of stuff going on. I had a lot of things that really bugged me, and they don't so much anymore. I'll tell you what, those big issues that I had, those ones, you know, that day I stood in front of that door and said, gee, what, who am I? What's going on here? You know, I'm not happy. If you're happy and life is wonderful, then you don't need to do this. This is not for everybody, but it is for you if you want to change. And you want to have a happy life. You want to live a life of going, oh, today felt great. Doesn't mean that everything was perfect, because nothing ever is. But it does mean that you've been able to kick this one. And then those little ones will just filter away. And if there is something else that triggers you, if there is something else that's going on, then we'll work with that too. You can come in and do the program, 21 Days Change Your Mind. You'll receive 3 sessions. And during those 3 sessions, that's pretty much it. And I have folks that can testify to that. They have written testimony to me of that for years now. And they've been very happy to do so. So I'm thrilled that this has worked. I'm thrilled that I found this for me, but as a gift back to my fellow human beings, I've been able to do this and enjoy this. And the more I do it and every day I do it, the happier I feel. So again, I don't see that I have any callers, and that's okay. I hope you're all doing that, and I hope you'll go to the page. I know I have several that already are, because they've already preempted before the show and say, gee, I'm going to have to listen to the replay, but I want to know. I'm ready. I want to make a change in my life. And it's you that has to make that change, by the way. It isn't me. I can't make that change for you. You have to make it. All I can do is offer you the guidance and the tools with the learned experience that I have from the masters I've worked with in all phases of strategic intervention, hypnotherapy, and NLP. And I'm working on my master's in hypnotherapy right now with a phenomenal guy, Dr. Mike Mandel from Canada. Just an amazing, amazing man. If you want to learn anything to do with hypnosis, there's the guy right there. And there are others that are wonderful as well. And I didn't start with Dr. Mike, but that's where I am now, and that's where I'll stay as far as hypnotherapy goes. It's just a phenomenal program. So that said, that's about a wrap on that, guys. We've got about 10 minutes worth of show left, and I hope you've enjoyed what you've heard on the first show. I will be having guests on. This was just to get to know me and to offer this to you now as myself with the program that I've written, which has been very successful, and offering you that gift. So as many people, I'm not going to put a limit on it, by the way. I may not get to you tomorrow or the next day, but I will get to you, I promise. If I've got, you know, amazing amounts of people that want that free session, which I suggest I probably will, I will make an appointment with the scheduler, and we will actually get you on that call. If I have to sit down and spend a couple of solid days, half hour at a whack, and we'll do it, okay? And I'll help you get through that, and you'll see the difference. So that said, I actually was supposed to do a little advertisement here for the network. And if you are a coach, author, or speaker, you're going to want to hear this. I'm going to play it now. I was supposed to do it at the 30-minute mark, but again, you've been listening and I've been talking, so here we go. Hey, amazing listeners. Thanks for listening to the I Am Radio TV Network. We are thrilled to have you with us. Are you potentially looking to step it up this year in your own business? And are you a coach, an author, or a speaker that could utilize that platform that we offer to provide you with a show and be a partner in our network? We have three levels of participation. We have the platinum level, which also is involved with a phenomenal mastermind once a month. We have the gold level, and we have the silver level. If you would like more information on our levels of participation, and if you feel you're ready to take that next step and really boost your business and make an investment in you that's going to make a massive difference in your business, then please reach out and contact us. We'd be very happy to get back to you and send information to you for you to review. And once again, we thank you for being with us today and listening to the I Am Network. Well, thank you for listening to that little advert. You'll notice it's my voice. I do the voiceovers for the network as well. And I wanted to talk to you briefly about the network. Coaches, authors, and speakers, moving away from myself as the hypnotic interventionist this moment, something I love and is very dear to my heart, as you, I'm sure, just listened to for almost the last hour. I have stepped it up again. A couple of years ago, I started a group known as Carousel Partners International. We were a group of renowned coaches all from all over the world, actually, from all corners of the planet, from under and above and here and there. They got together and worked together on, like, in a network, a collaboration, a mastermind, to pull our resources together and cross coach and help each other grow and learn. And actually, if I had a client, for example, and that client, it was somebody that potentially I had gone to a degree that I possibly couldn't help them, or they weren't a good fit, or, you know, I wasn't a good fit for them, then I could actually, you know, refer them to another one of our coaches. And that worked out very well. And we went on into a bigger network and merged, and we all did radio shows. We had a great time. However, there was an unfortunate circumstance that happened from that business, which had nothing to do with us, and we stopped. So for about a year plus now, I've always said, you as I'd love to get back, but I wasn't going to go back into radio and live events and et cetera without things being put together correctly, because as I said previously, we all learn from our mistakes, right? And not failures, but nothing is a failure unless you quit. And I didn't choose to quit. I chose to put the pieces of this puzzle back together so that it was a phenomenal group of people. Well, we have started again. And it is the Interactive Media Network. We've got some fantastic stuff coming up with this network, including live events all over the world starting this coming summer in July. And that will be in Los Angeles. That's our first meetup live event. But in the interim, we are now looking for phenomenal people, noted authority coaches who have got their stuff together, have been coaching 3 to 5 years and want to get to that next level, as that little advert said. You want to have that collectiveness. You want to have that connection. You know, it's great to be in business by yourself, but not all by yourself. You know, and you can work with, and at the platinum level in the network, we also have a mastermind, which we actually started yesterday, and it is going to be absolutely fantastic. What we're working on is just phenomenal. And we'd love for you to take part in that. It is by interview and application. On the platinum partner level, there's only going to be 13 to 15 coaches, authors, or speakers allowed at that level. And then the gold level, just underneath that, there'll be up to 50 on that level. And then the silver level will kind of go endless. There's also a VIP level where it's going to be offering discounts. It's a membership, a VIP membership of sorts. And it's going to be offering massive discounts to all kinds of events, coaching. Also, some real good news on the Platinum Partner level. We are having a call with the Masters once a month, as well as our Mastermind, and that will be with the likes of a phenomenal coach and think of some of these great guys. I already mentioned one of those names. Think about, like, you know, Les Brown, Brian Tracy, John Assaraf, James Malinchek, et cetera, just to name four. And having the opportunity to sit in your home and be on a live call with those folks personally with our group and share their chunks of gold, have them share their knowledge with you, how they got to be where they are today, their heartaches, their backstory. That's part of the phenomenal opportunity here. And there's more that I can't even get in today. I would love to get you more information, as the advert said. This network is going and growing, as we say, and we are having fun. And that's a big thing about it. But to be collectively connected with like-minded coaches from all over the planet, and we are now served from Canada, New Zealand, England, and the U.S. So, and California in the U.S. as well, Dr. Simone. And it's just fun. It's fun. And we're so happy you got to be on the call with us today. With me, I should say, not with us, but with the network. You got to hear about the network. You got to hear what's going on with me. And I will continue to be an interventionist. I'll continue to be the hypnotic interventionist. And I will continue to work with folks like yourselves for years to come. I pray that I can make it that long. I think that this is just something that's time for the world to see and feel. Is that we do not have to live with those debilitating beliefs. You do not have to live with low self-esteem. You have the right as a human being to be able to hold your head up high and say, I'm giving it my best and I'm enjoying my life. And I'm trying, even though things have happened to you, that you realize not necessarily the why they happen, but what they are so that you can learn from them and move on and enjoy life. Right. That's the key thing right there. And when we get to do that, it's absolutely fantastic. So please take me up on my offer. Again, that's a totally free half an hour that I will spend with you and we will go over. But I need you to go. That's the first step to www.21daystochangeyourmind. And I hope it doesn't crash because you're all hitting it at the same time. But if it does, oh well, check it back later. It'll be fine. I have my bestest half, who I'm sure will fix it right up. She's really good at that. Thank you, Emily. So when you go to the site, you'll see the button. Press that button, get your booklet, and fill that question out and send it to me. It's all set up for you to do that. You'll see the little directions right on the right-hand side. But again, when you answer that question and you write it down, and then you write the five things minimum that are going to happen as a result, that are going to change in your life exponentially as a result of screwing away that issue, that's when change starts. Because you have then committed to making a change. And isn't that what's important? Because when you make a commitment, when you own up to the fact, hey, you know, none of us are perfect. We've all got stuff going on. We've all got learned experiences that were not your fault. There are things, as we talked about, just as we said, you know, about finding out the difference between hot and cold. Everybody in your life has played an impact and left an impact on your mind. Everybody you've met is a memory. Through the lenses of your eyes, it goes into your mind. And the mind stores it to the point that you have it forever. Massive. Quarter dollar versus a beach ball, think about it. That's a lot of stored memory. I think it'd be only fair that we get to clean it up a little bit. So, folks, thanks so very much for being with me today. I am Jeffrey Miller, the hypnotic interventionist. Thanks very, very much for listening. And, again, any further information you'd like to have on our I Am Radio TV network, please check it out. Thanks. I hope you all have a blessed day. See you the next time, by the way, in 2 weeks. And I'll get the schedule up so you all know when that is. Take care, folks. Thank you.